WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
This is Eric Bischoff.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho.
This is Booker T, five-time WCW champ.
Hi, everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer. And you're tuned in to the, what was it?
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
My man, gather around.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Whose reputation for clarity and truth had become a symbol of hope.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
8 o'clock. It's 8 o'clock, isn't it?
With your hosts, Tim Stein.
Chief architect of this intended revolution and author of this insidious plot.
The Omega.
Frankly, I've never been able to understand violence in any form.
Heartbreak Mike.
Has black hair, blue eyes, doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, and tells the truth.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
I sort of have a problem. Seems to live.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Any questions, class?
And on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
Oh, that's interesting.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is Matt Hardy.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac.
This is the Masterpiece, Chris Master.
If you don't tune in each and every week to Wrestle Talk Radio, Matt Hardy.
WTR Sunday Night.
I was thinking maybe we could go for a hamburger.
And welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Coming through Hell in a Cell, probably one of the longest pay-per-views we've seen outside of the Big Four. We're on late.
I do shows on midnight-ish. This is you know, a little too close to midnight-ish for me.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
It's the other side of the ish, because you're always on the late side of the ish, or early side of the ish.
Depending on the time zone, yeah. And I'm okay with it. That match was worth going 30 minutes plus over.
Well, we've got a little bit to talk about before we can actually talk about that.
But okay.
Sorry.
Arr.
You have to wait. We will get to it. Hashtag why, Sammy, why?
Rage.
Oh. So, yeah, someone has to fill in. He ain't here. But I'm here. I'm the Omega. The be-all, end-all of our network.
Fuck joining the Omega.
Joining me tonight, apparently filling in on the Rage-o-meter, we have the producers for Rockin'.
Rage?
Oh my god. Brutalized.
Oh wait, no wait. Fuck the Revival.
There we
totally
go.
Brutal.
God,
absolutely
like,
brutal.
It's like Mike is here. And of course, as usual, we have the one and only Tim Stein.
Well, like the animated GIF says, you dumb fucked it up, Rage. Fuck the Revival, fuck Team Omega. I'm just filling in from a homie. I won't use the N-word, though, because he's the only one allowed to use it on the program. At least on, you know, live. Yeah, good evening, everybody. Welcome to a late edition, a CB Radio-ish edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, the Hell in a Cell version of the show. And holy cow, can you believe it's 11:48 p.m. Eastern Time. 9:48 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. There was a pay-per-view, and we've got to go because it's late. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Good night.
Oh, all right, that's where I had the button.
WildTalkRadio.com.
Oh, wait. No, maybe we better actually do an actual program here.
Yeah, we might as well do that. So things... no, 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 Tim, no. We'll have to talk about that. So anyway, yes, there's a pre-show. That was a 10 to the yes to the yes to the 10? Something like that. Daniel Bryan adds Ty Dillinger to the U.S. title match, which is later on. We also learn of a new hashtag. Hashtag flares are always better than the hearts.
That's hashtag really bullshit.
Good thing the character limit's going up. That takes up a lot of tweet.
Well, that's how she ended her social media lounge appearance. Flares are always better than hearts.
Is everybody getting 280 characters or what?
Not everybody.
It's in trial right now. I like 140 characters. It forces me to use my diction.
I hate 140 characters. It forces me to spell words incorrectly, and I hate that.
That means your diction is terrible.
You just never mind my diction.
You need to get your diction up, Tim.
Okay, we don't need to be talking about my diction. My diction is pretty up. Trust me.
Just need to use it more often.
Hey, you know what? You know, I'm really good with hard diction. Seriously. I can't believe that you're doing this, Omega.
Doing what?
You know damn well what I'm talking about, and I'm not going any further.
Trying to encourage your vocabulary skills, Tim.
Ain't nothing wrong with my vocabulary. He said, attempting to speak ghetto and failing miserably.
So,
speaking facetiously, of course.
So, Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin took on the Hypros. Typical tag match. Good fall finishes towards the end, and, well, Hypros couldn't hit their finish, which means they're breaking up at some point eventually. Benjamin Gable win.
Yep. They went for the Hype Rider.
Yep, Hype Rider, and couldn't hit it, and they...
Yeah, and Zach got pissed off afterwards, which led to him ending up straight into the other finish.
They weren't wearing the same color outfits of tonight.
Oh, it's over.
The tag team unity is no more.
It's done.
Wait a minute. If they're not wearing the same, like, outfits, doesn't that mean that they're going to be together for the next 6 months?
It's not a Cesaro thing. They didn't start out with different outfits.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they started with the same outfits.
Well, they're screwed. Hashtag Dark Tower.
I don't know. We asked this question.
It's a really bad sign when the writers don't know what to do with you, so they put you in a tag team together and then break up the tag team because they don't know what to do with you.
That's bad.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Benjamin gave a win. But that's the pre-show. Let's talk about the main show. Holy crap on a crap stick. This was an awesome match. Hell in a Cell tag team titles. New Day versus Usos Omega.
Good way to start it off.
Yeah, you don't say.
No. It's a lot of creative tag team work in this one. I was happy with it.
We emptied out the music room tonight.
Oh, yeah. Like, there's a high school band somewhere that is not going to be playing for quite a while.
First off, before we get to that, Big E's diving spear into the cage. Big E, come on.
Ugh.
It looks bad when you do it and you crash into the floor. Then doing it into the cage, even worse. Why? Because you're going to hurt yourself. But then we had Xavier Woods come out with his trombones. Multiple trombones. I believe, what, two or three of them?
We went through a lot of Francescas.
We did. And then, of course, we had a cowbell.
So history will look back and go, at what point did you stop taking Hell in a Cell seriously? The moment the cowbell came out.
Was it the cowbell or the gong?
No, it was the cowbell.
Okay.
Because it preceded the gong. Mm-hmm. At least, you know, gongs are actually pretty freaking strong. So, like, okay, fine. Cowbell's a tin box.
So, there's that. And then Woods got... Uso threw a chair at the face of Woods. That looked like it nailed him right in the head.
Yeah. I always cringe a bit because I know they can't do direct headshots anymore. So they have to get creative with how they actually use the chairs. And sometimes they just fucking fling them. And it always scares me because it's so easy to aim that wrong.
Mm-hmm. And then this is where I had two logical loopholes in this match. So the Usos have some kendo sticks. We had a bunch of kendo sticks.
And a rainbow kendo stick. A
couple of rainbow kendo sticks. So the Usos use a couple of kendo sticks and then they break them. Why would you break your own weapon?
If it's a beer bottle, you have to.
But that's a beer bottle. Talking about weapons you're actually physically using.
Okay, yes, you're right.
Okay.
I don't understand. I got a kendo stick. Let's immediately whack it against the top rope. Why not? Because it cracks it in half. Now, if you're like CZW, that means you're going to jab the broken ends of it into somebody's eyes.
But this isn't CZW.
No, it's not. Thank God. Because otherwise Shane would be dead right now.
Yeah.
With a big old ouch.
Mm-hmm. Then we...
That's a weird way to phrase it. Death. A big old ouch.
Anyway, he's just going to move on, he says to himself. We then had a kendo stick pushed across the throat of Xavier Woods, and then one of the Usos ran his ass into his face. Because reasons.
Like you do.
Like you do.
Learned it from daddy.
I was about to say, because son of Stinkface.
Exactly. And then in it...
It needs to be the tag team move, where they just, like, concerto somebody with their asses.
And then we
had... Ass-cherto.
Ass-cherto. And then we had a scary spot. So, the Uranagi off the side of the apron, to the floor, and Woods runs in with his knees for a backbreaker. That looks scary.
Okay. Okay. Clever spot.
Clever. Yes.
Also, you just fucked that knee.
I know. Begs the question. Kofi's the healthy one. Why wasn't he in the match?
They did something during the pre-show. They had Xavier boxing little cutouts of the Usos, like, you know, like a kickboxer practices on padded gloves, which I thought was a funny little twist. I would have laughed my ass off if he was the one warming up for that fight backstage and he was the one who got left out of the match.
That would have been funny. But that was a really scary spot. And then we had another creative spot where the New Day put an Uso up against the cell and locked him up against the cell wall with kendo sticks.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a zone in Punjabi prison.
Just more effective than the actual Punjabi prison.
Yeah, pretty much.
And you could see through it, too.
Yes. The holes.
Yeah, see what the hell's going on.
The holes in this one were big enough to see through. Ah, God. Anyway, then later on we had some handcuffs. Woods is now handcuffed to the together, and his arms are up against the ring post, like when Shane McMahon got electrocuted. That way.
Well, Paige is on the way back.
And then the Usos just wailed on him with kendo sticks, one after the other. It's like he lost a gamer gauntlet, and this was his punishment.
Did you ever see Roots?
Yes.
Which one? The original or the remake?
LeVar Burton.
Okay, the original. That one's my favorite fake history lesson, as opposed to the reboot.
Never saw the reboot.
Oh, you're not missing a bunch.
Good to know.
So, Roots. I thought you were going to make more of a point with that.
No.
Okay.
He's just talking about Toby getting whipped.
Okay.
Toby got whipped.
It's called a reference. Follow along.
Then.
I don't think he saw the original Roots.
Yes, it is.
Or the reboot.
I never saw the reboot.
Did you see the Chappelle Show sketch?
That one I missed. And it's, I'm almost sorry all that I did.
It's the only context you need here.
Now, here's my second logical point of the match. Why did they let him off the post? Someone explain this one to me. Why did you let him off the post?
I mean, for that matter, why'd you only bring one set of handcuffs?
No, I thought, no, they used two. Biggie was handcuffed. He broke out of it.
Oh, right. I mean, but just, like, pin him down. Like,
so he could take the pin. No.
No. I mean, just, like, you could just lock him to the post and just, like, arms up, like, here, legs up here, and now you're a pinata.
Right. But I don't. Maybe this was just bad camera work because they should not have shown them actually letting him off. They should just, you know, randomly got it off at some point where you didn't see them actually do it. But they showed him knocking, pushing his arms up and getting him off the post. It's like, you have the man locked to the post. You don't let him go.
The only feasible logic to it is that's the one who just got beaten down, so that's the one they wanted to try and pin. That's it.
But you still have two on one on the other.
But it's Big E.
They were having.
You have the video game nerd or Big E.
Who's also a video game nerd. But
in real life, it's true.
But you could take down Big E. It's two of you. We saw that. They were manhandling him for a while. You could have left Woods on the post. But no, they didn't.
I mean, I'm not saying it's good logic, but it's the only logic I can find. You know, like I said, by the same logic, I'd use two sets of handcuffs to completely incapacitate somebody from the match and just make it 2-on-1 the whole time. You know, if you book it out the way you're supposed to, Big E gets out, and then he's the one who gets Xavier off the post.
Yeah, but they did not do that. So, in the end, after the double oos, as they're calling it now, Woods broke it up, still handcuffed. But then we had a double oos on chairs, and your new WWE SmackDown Tag Team Champions.
Should we call that the Usos?
No.
Oh.
The Usos. Kind of surprised they swapped the belts again.
And you're supposed to stop using logic, by the way, just thought I'd pass that along.
No. I will always use logic. It's how I got to know the finish of the main event.
Hey, don't shoot the messenger. I was just passing it on.
I know.
Okay.
But yeah, I guess it's because they made a point in the match where it's like the Usos can't get another title shot if they lose this match. So we're getting one more of this?
You gotta have a rematch.
Why?
Just so the Usos could drop the title on SmackDown Tuesday.
And then we have to do one more match. We need to get these two teams apart, Omega.
But what do we really have for them if we do get them apart? They are literally the
hell of a lot.
They're literally the tag team division right now.
Yep, essentially.
Because Breezango is a comedy act, and Ascension is right alongside them right now.
They were co-stars tonight.
They have been for like half of the Fashion Files episodes.
But their name was in the credits this week. That's why I officially say they were co-stars.
How sad is it that the only time you can get the Ascension over is by putting them in those skits?
It's kind of hysterical. Not going to lie.
Jeez, guys. Oh, yeah. You could have just said no.
God, these guys are amazing. I couldn't tell. Half the face is painted over red.
Black. You gotta admit, he kind of looks like my car.
Like your car.
Red with the black. The face paint.
He's not rusty.
Neither's my car.
Are you sure he's not rusty? He hasn't been in a ring for a match.
True.
He might be rustier than my car.
He might be rustier than Tim's car.
Yep.
You don't know.
Oh, yeah. I gave my car a brake job on Tuesday. That was awesome.
So okay. Again... Where do we
I bought it new brake shoes. It refuses to wear them.
Well, you have to break them in.
apparently, we're doing phrasing again.
You're doing phrasing again.
Okay. Unintentional phrasing. I didn't realize it.
So again, my point of where do we go from here? We do one more match at Survivor Series or on SmackDown or... Halloween Havoc edition of SmackDown. Because
we can bring back WCW shit now.
Because it is Tuesday. Tuesday is a Halloween.
And Cody Rhodes gets to bitch about it every time we do.
And then
why don't you just pair up AJ Styles and the Perfect 10 and make a new tag team?
What's the name of the team, Tim?
I don't know. The Phenomenal 10? I don't know. Don't put me on the spot like that.
Was setting you up for your own punchline. You had no punchline.
I had no punchline because I wasn't making. Yeah, I was just, you know, like, never mind. Shut up. Just shut up.
Randy Orton versus Rusev.
You're wrong.
How am I wrong?
Oh wait, no. Hey, let's get into it first.
Tell me about the match, Tim.
Well, it was your standard typical Rusev and your standard typical Randy Orton match. It was entertaining enough. I love the creativity for the end of the match itself, but it was mercifully not as long as it could have been.
But it was 100 times longer than the first two matches combined.
Yeah,
actually, it was. Yes,
I mean it's everything you would see from Orton and Rusev. Every time Orton made his comeback, Rusev would cut it off. And as Tim mentioned, the finish was creative. Randy does his pounding on the mat, gets caught in the accolade. Randy escapes, RKO out of nowhere. Randy wins.
Why is my only question.
Yeah, poor Rusev at this point.
Yeah, I don't have an answer why. I thought Rusev should have won this match.
I mean, for a while, Rusev was getting really good crowd reactions, and everyone thought his star was on the rise, and then they did fuck all with him.
And, moved Lana away from him?
Yeah.
We want Lana.
We had a slight We Want Lana chant.
Yep.
Well, they work together. It just works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, well, we tried Lana as a wrestler. She's awful. So we're going to make her a manager again, but not with Rusev for no reason.
We were at the 205 Live and have her manage, what's his name?
What is his name, Tim?
What is his name?
Mustafa Ali?
No, the other one.
Tony Gran Metalik.
No, the other one.
Tony Nese.
No, the other one.
Kalisto.
No, the other one.
Drew Gulak.
No. The Jewish kid.
DJ Perkins.
No,
the Jewish kid. Enzo Amore.
No, Drew Gulak is the Jewish kid.
Okay, yeah, you totally missed that.
Or you no-sold it, you prick.
I no-sold it, yes. I no-sold
it.
Yeah,
you're just like, what's his name?
What's his name?
You know, the guy.
Razor Ramon.
No, the other guy.
Kevin Nash.
No, the other guy.
Glenn Jacobs.
All right, enough of that.
Rick Tyson.
We've stalled long enough.
Anyway.
Is he back yet? Oh, there he is.
Oh, shit, we weren't stalling for anyone.
Damn, I forgot. Mike isn't here tonight.
Randy won.
Just to reiterate, Randy didn't lose.
This is how impressed we were with this match.
All right, I'll go give you something better to talk about. Kurt Angle Sanders, go.
Oh, God.
I guess they had to make Kurt Angle Colonel Saunders because Dolph Heel is a Ziggler now.
And Sean already did it.
One time. That was a one-off.
This man has a legitimate Olympic gold medal.
Which he won with a broken freaking neck.
Broken freaking neck. It's like legitimately one of the most badass things that you could accomplish in the Olympics.
In real life.
He's dressed as Colonel Sanders. He's hawking chicken. And
he was actually hawking the WWE 2K18.
I really want to know if it's a legit thing that's in the video game.
Oh,
that's
God.
What they were saying. It's legit in the video.
No.
Oh,
KFC is sponsoring WWE 2K18. They got a great big huge endorsement deal. You can play as Colonel Harlan Sanders.
Which means I know Omega's first match in the new version of WTR Sims, Omega versus Colonel Sanders.
Probably lose that match too.
Can you have an extra crispy stipulation?
This year, yes you can.
Bucket on a pole.
Bucket on a pole, there you go.
There aren't, anyway.
Boneless hot wings in a bucket on a pole.
Anyway, that was a thing. Also, what was a thing was the U.S. title match. AJ Styles, Ty Dillinger, and Baron Corbin.
And again, I ask you why?
Because logic.
What logic? There's no logic.
Plenty of logic.
Okay, explain your logic.
Okay, we have a new U.S. champion, for the record.
I wasn't talking about that.
Oh, then what are you confused about?
Three-way.
Dillinger beat Corbin on Tuesday.
Yeah. Why did they set that up? That was already planned. I mean, like, are they going to be doing something to push Dillinger? The guy has no calf muscles. Oh, wait a minute. Neither does Triple H. Okay.
This is the whole reason for not pushing him up the card. Lack of calf muscles.
You know, Vince is big on the calf muscles.
Oh, yeah.
His legs look funny.
His, like, third favorite muscle.
What's his first two?
Don't ask that.
Bicep and deltoid.
I was about to say, don't ask that. There were women listening.
Surprised me to go back to diction. Anyway.
No, he's a grapefruit man, remember?
Thoughts on the match, oh my God.
Well, aside from the end, I liked it well enough. AJ Styles is in the match. He should be able to make either one of them look good all at the same time.
And I think he certainly did that in moments.
I have faith in him to do that every time he has the opportunity.
This is true. After all, he is phenomenal.
Yeah. Makes people look good. I really want more for Ty. He's been trying for so long. He was Stan.
He might still be feeling the effects of that kick.
Like, he came up with so much heat coming out of NXT, and they've just never really capitalized on it, and it's cooling down now. It's upsetting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But no, I like the match well enough. I don't agree with giving Corbin the title, because fuck Corbin, but, that's semantics. That's just my personal preferences.
I have a hard time with a guy with no personality carrying one of your big titles. Yeah, don't.
I'm just saying.
It's hard.
That was a preemptive, Rock.
I'm pointing at it on my sheet. There's one coming up really soon. Just saying.
Go ahead, Omar.
There is just something frustrating about
India.
I don't think that a billion people would appreciate you calling their country frustrating.
Well, they can protest it. Back to the match.
What are they going to do?
I'm not going there. Okay. Go. Went take a knee. Anyway.
Oh, hey, you went of course. There. Jack Erie, Earl Haley. Oh, my God.
Omega steer the ship somehow.
No, Corbin, I don't like Corbin going over in this match in a chicken shit heel move where he steals the win from somebody else. Mm-hmm. And I don't like the idea of him, of all people, taking that belt off of AJ Styles, because someone else has to feud with Jinder now.
Exactly.
Why not AJ?
That's where they go.
Yeah, it's going to be AJ.
Because if anyone can make Jinder look good at this point, he's the only one left who might be able to.
Yeah. I'm not saying that Shinsuke didn't make him look good, but there's only so much you can do with that.
You can only make it look so good when you're singing the same song every time you go out there.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to cheer against Jinder, of course, now, which is understandable. It's just like there's a moratorium on me cheering against him. Tonight, I wasn't cheering against him. I was cheering for Shinsuke. There is a distinct difference, especially if you understand sports.
Anyway, the logic says Corbin's the U.S. champion, AJ goes to Jinder, and we go from there. You lower the ranking of the belt, Corbin will have it, so he lost his briefcase to get the U.S. title. Fair trade?
Yeah. More sensible trades, better than sending him straight to the world title.
I was about to say, no, that's a smart move. AJ had to lose the title. It's just too bad that he had to lose it to Baron. Baron, in case you're listening, I hope you understand, we're not fans. This is why you're getting all the love from other people, not us. I don't think he's listening.
So your new U.S. champion is Baron Corbin. Up next. Women's Championship. Again, another thing ran into Tim's contract where he can't root against a certain someone. Natalya takes on Charlotte.
But here's the thing. I wouldn't root against her anyway. Yeah, don't get me wrong. I like Charlotte, but I'm a Natty fan. And it's not because, and I'm not going to, it's too late for name dropping or anything like that. But, Natty is a really good friend. And we've been over this ad infinitum. How she has been used to get other people over on both Raw and SmackDown and how good she is at doing it. She has earned a title run. I am not a fan of the finish of this match, however.
I will say, I enjoyed Charlotte selling in this matchup.
Mm-hmm.
She did a fantastic job of selling in the throughout.
Until she went for a moonsault.
Well, you know.
If your leg's been worked on that much, backflipping outside the ring is probably not something you want to attempt.
I see that point, and then I go Shane McMahon. Anyway, it just throws it out the window.
Shane McMahon defies all logic.
Exactly.
He buggered up his knee in that match, and I could tell it was legit because he did not sell that injury.
Right,
we'll get there.
We'll get there.
Like Rocky said, we'll get there.
So, good job. It was... The one thing I'll say, it was a little awkward at the start where it's like, Charlotte's bigger than Natty, and it looked weird with Natty dominating, but it played a good story in the end. I don't know, what do you think, Omega?
It's an interesting story to tell, because you have so much history now with Charlotte being dominant in the ring herself, because, you had this, this unstoppable force on Raw type thing going for her. And now you're on SmackDown. There's a new competition, and to see her play the different role is, to be redundant, it's different. It's a different side of Charlotte we don't normally see, is her, on the receiving end and, trying to fight her way up. I think it's good that she has challengers who can present that kind of difficulty for her. And when they're the champion, they should be that difficult.
Mm-hmm. But what didn't you like about the finish, Tim?
Well, I can handle Natty retaining the belt by hook or by crook. I suppose it was marginally better than her just grabbing the belt and walking out and being counted out, as that would have made her look even weaker. But I would have, even if it was the female equivalent of a low blow, whatever that might be, with the ref's back turned, maybe a rake to the eyes or something like that. A cheap finishing move for the pin. But to get taken out outside the ring? And I just read Skype. I'm not going to go there.
This is why I got typed.
Exactly.
Yeah. You should be able to call that thunder. There, you're welcome. Inside joke, ladies and gentlemen. Never mind.
And if you want, do what you think. Anyway, moving on.
But saying everything we've said, anytime that Natty and Charlotte get in the ring and I get the opportunity to watch this match, I'm there. And that's all there is to it.
Here's the problem, though.
What's that?
Every time we say this, they delivered solid matches, but they give us crappy finishes. Remember that series of matches a couple of years ago where month after month it was like a crappy finish?
Yeah, the problem there is not the girls. It's the it's creative. It's the scripting, the booking.
It's the booking wanting to continue the feud, wanting this to give us more.
That's fine. Have one attack the other after the match instead.
Well, we saw how that logic worked later. But anyway, we'll get there.
I'm sorry, logic.
But, you know, so, it is what it is.
Finish be damned. I'm still watching it for the entertainment of the match itself. I'll just, you know, ignore any finish I see and pretend that the match never ended and they just, like, postponed it until the next, you know, the next time the two are together on the same TV show.
So you're saying, my friend, it just kept going on and on?
It's the match that never ends. It goes on and on, my friend. Some people started watching not knowing what it was. Okay, stop that.
You started it. Anyway, so...
Alcohol. Tonight you have to blame alcohol. I'll explain why right before we go to break. Go ahead.
So Charlotte wins, Natty retains, and Natty used the chair to get DQ'd. You know?
Classic heel move. I get it. That's all fine and dandy. I would have preferred the rake to the eyes or, you know, the upper one. Or the Thunder one.
I like seeing the women's division would have that level of violence to get out of a match.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times when women get DQ'd, you know, especially in the Diva era, it wasn't for things like she grabbed a chair and wailed somebody.
Right. Oh, so here's the thing. The commentary, Byron, said, what if Brett wouldn't like it? Jim, her father, Jim Neidhart, wouldn't like it. Yes, he would if he was a heel. His entire career, he was a heel. Did you see all the heel tactics he ever did in a match? He's a heel. He would have enjoyed Natty hitting her with a chair. He was probably home in his recliner going, that's my girl. Just saying.
Yep.
No, you swing with the shoulders, honey, not the back.
Yeah, you would have given pointers. We LOL'd about that on Skype.
I mean, it's the logic of that. It's like, he was a heel. Jim the Anvil Neidhart, the character, was never a good guy. We cannot, in 2017, think he was a good guy.
Jim the Anvil Neidhart is a bit standoffish when you first meet him until you don't talk about wrestling or football with him and offer to buy him a drink. Then he's your best friend. There's a whole story behind that. Someday.
One day.
It's not nasty and it's not picking on Jim Neidhart. I love the guy. He's a great dude.
But with that, we go to break.
I think, yeah, we should take a first, last, and only timeout of this night. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night reviewing Hell in a Cell right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere unless you're going to the kitchen to get a brand new ice cold beverage. Do that. But come on back. We'll be back right after this.
The Rack Extra gets a little Bella in the form of Total Bellas. Join us each week as we review the latest happenings going on in the world of the Bellas.
I feel like I'm trapped, like
you're trapped.
Of living in a padded cell.
Check out the Rack Extra, Total Bellas Weekly at WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com.
Who is the greatest hockey player of all time? CB Radio has decided.
Butchering some names. Frank Nyberg versus Joe Nieuwenzeken. Wendick.
I'm going to go with Nieuwendyk.
Yes.
Nieuwendyk. Wow. That is not what it looks like. Sweeney Schneider versus Matt Schmidt.
It's Milt, not Matt.
Whatever. I figured that was going to help out Team Chat. Finally, someone who has a real name. Brad Park gets Mark Messier.
Messier.
What the
Messier.
Hell?
Messier. Yeah. Hang this
fucking clinch him. Get a rope.
It has a goddamn R at the end. Screw you.
I can only wait till I get to that Wayne Gretzky guy.
Guy LaFleur versus Lauren Chatbot. You added a D. Yes, I did. On purpose. Brett Hull versus Ray Borku.
Thank you.
Bjork. Bjork?
Ray fucking Finkel.
How's that on Bjork? Okay, whatever.
Just think of the Swedish chef.
Fischler versus Wayne Gretzky.
Gretzky. I'll be the Gretzky guy.
Way to play into it, Jobber. Way to play into it.
Pavel.
Oh, God.
Wait. Pavel. Bure. What? How do they have spelled?
Bure.
Versus Bure.
Bure. Okay.
Oh, my
fucking
God.
French. Jerome Ignilia.
Again, look.
What?
Aginla.
Versus Joe Sakic. That's where I was going to go originally, but I figured it was going to be pronounced differently than I was expecting.
Jerome Aginla, one of the all-time greatest Calgary Flames players of all time.
Okay, Sakic. So I'm going to go with Joe.
I'll move Joe Sakic on. I can feel the hatred now for that last one.
You're all idiots.
It's the Greater Than Great Debate, heard Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself... Maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last.
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch.
It's the Raw Post Show. Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin', as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is King from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
This Tuesday, it is the WTR Sims Season 1 Grand Finale, otherwise known as the Ultimate Championship Challenge. Which one of your favorite or not so favorite WTR stars will leave as the Season 1 champion? Find out Tuesday night at 11:15 p.m. Eastern, only at twitch.tv/rackradioshow. Be there for what promises to be simply awesome.
This is international superstar Matt Cross, best friend of Son of Havoc, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'd like to take this time to say happy Thanksgiving to everybody listening in Canada. Of course, it's the Canadian Thanksgiving. Unlike the United States, we celebrate and give thanks for a bountiful harvest.
We celebrate committing genocide on the Indigenous people.
Thank you for being the one to say that, being that I'm as removed as I am from being an American. I'd have almost felt racist saying it, but not quite.
And we all know Thanksgiving is just a warm-up for Black Friday. Let's be real.
Yeah, you're carbo-loading for it.
Yeah. Just
there you go.
Preparing for what's to come, yeah.
Which is okay, because actually Canada has gotten into the Black Friday thing, even though we don't observe American Thanksgiving. We observe American Black Friday, because economy.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that.
So there's that. We have the return of the Fashion Files tonight. The
Fashion Files came back. We touched on it briefly near the top of the show.
To be tube.
To be. Am I missing something?
I thought the Ascension were funny. I thought Tyler Breeze and Fandango are good. And
I never thought it would be Tyler Breeze and Fandango that would make me care about the Ascension.
Well, here it is. I alluded to it when we brought it up at the beginning, like near the top of the webcast. But yeah, I've never seen the Ascension more over.
Yeah, this is the most over they've ever been.
Which is, you know, that's a sad thing to say, especially when you realize that one of the Ascension happens to be a friend of mine from Stampede Wrestling.
I believe 15 minutes ago he said he was too tired to name drop, and he just name dropped.
And, didn't actually name a name. If you were, just in case you weren't following along, I never said Connor, nor did I say McGregor. See what I did there?
Yes, Tim, you're a very clever boy.
So Bobby Roode took on Dolph Ziggler. Oh, wait. There was another match before this. The WWE Championship match. Jinder Mahal versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
I can't say anything bad about this match because of Jinder. I'm not going to risk it. He's mean.
I will.
Okay, go ahead. You don't know him. He doesn't know you.
It's the same fucking match he's had for the last 3 months.
Five.
God.
We've started this thing, this train in what, May, June, May? Has it really been since May? Did they say like 130 something days?
I think my phone's about to blow up with angry text messages. Hang on.
Well, good. Read them on air. I believe it was May he won this belt. Because we had multiple rematches with Randy. We thought there would be cash. Oh, God, it's been a while. Since Jinder's been champion.
Don't hinder Jinder. He can do that all by himself.
Clearly, this run has made him an 88 in the video game. That's a jump. Same number as Braun.
That's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
It's the same.
I mean, is that with the Singh brothers included? Or
Singh brothers are not in the game.
Well, I didn't
Thank
think
God
they were.
For small
I think
miracles.
I just thought he got to the 88 by like Voltroning with them. It just hangs off his arms the whole time.
He looked smaller tonight.
I don't really keep up with him.
He just looked a little smaller. His arms looked smaller. So yeah, match was there. Jinder likes doing a move where he works on a dude's arm and then just shakes his hips around like he's flopping his stick around. So that's a thing. Singh brothers got tossed. Kinshasa, Shinsuke got the ropes. We then have more.
He got the ropes because it was the Singh brothers ran back in.
Yeah, more confusion, more everything. Kinshasa missed and hits the turnbuckle, the Colossus for the win. India is your WWE champion still.
The Indian market is your WWE champion
because your champion is headed there in 5 days.
And guess what, bitches? After that. It's a free-for-all!
No. Then you gotta wait till December, because that's the tour. He's going on a PR thing this week.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
This is the PR to set up the tour. Hunter was there last week. Jinder. So it's like, there's no way they're taking that belt off him now before he's flying to India.
No. Not happy.
Then they're doing the Raw tour headlined by Shinsuke Nakamura, going to India.
Can we get his visa revoked?
No. All you're going to do is send him back to Canada.
I'm not seeing a problem here.
So, yeah. Gender.
I'm not saying anything about that at all. Nope. Forget it.
Gender is your champion. Enjoy, folks, when AJ Styles is now putting over Gender for the next 2 months.
Oh, God. No.
Hey, AJ actually has a chance to make Gender look not half bad.
But Gender's still going to go over. There shouldn't be a realm where Jinder Mahal can beat AJ Styles.
Breaking news in a shocking turn of events. Jinder Mahal has dropped a title in India. What?
No.
What?
No. None of
what?
That. No.
What?
No.
No what?
You know.
I didn't do nothing. It was a credible accent. Shut up. I don't care who you are.
You were one step away from doing telemarketing in a Michael Bay movie.
I was trying to do the guy from Short Circuit.
Oh, no, right.
You know, the Homeland. Oh, Cleveland.
I'm shocked. Like, that they got away with that at all.
Damn.
They didn't give a shit. Oh, it's a white guy playing an Indian.
Mm-hmm.
With the worst accent he could possibly put on.
So this did not feel like a WWE title match. It just did not feel like it should have been on a pay-per-view. This felt like it shouldn't have even main event SmackDown. This felt like a 9 p.m. match.
It felt like I've watched it before.
There's that, too.
I made the comment that it felt like a non-title main event on SmackDown, and you said, no, not even that much.
Not even that. 9 o'clock spot. And that's being generous.
Top of the second hour to get the people out of intermission.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where we were in this one, and even then, that's a stretch.
And it's really bad when you have your supposedly top-tier title wind up feeling like that.
Your champions are Jinder Mahal and Baron Corbin. Let that sink in.
And why am I watching SmackDown again after tonight?
Well, there's a good reason to. We'll get to it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
There's one reason.
So, Kevin Owens did a promo, Tim.
Yeah, you know what? Just give him the mic. Let him take it from here.
Yeah. What do you say?
That Kevin Owens is gold no matter what he does.
He's trying to set you up for the line you typed in the chat. But hey.
I forgot what line it was.
So he's a typical Quebecer, right?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. What? You know, you could have reminded me.
I'm setting you up. Anyway.
Anyway, no, let me do this now because you brought it up, and anybody in Eastern Canada and in Quebec listening is going to want to know how bad a Western Canadian dissed them yet again. I said typical Quebecer thinks that the world revolves around them. And I was just being a smart ass when I said it. That's why I didn't think about anything about it when you were trying to set me up. I also said something about Bobby Roode, too, but we'll get there.
I was going to set you up for that one, too.
You still can, because I remember.
So, speaking of Bobby Roode, he took on Dolph Ziggler.
Yes, he did.
What about Bobby Roode, Tim?
Oh, just a typical Torontonian. Thinks that and I said this as the lights hit him, and I timed it on purpose. Just as all the spotlights were hitting. Typical Torontonian. Thinks that the universe revolves around them. And I was being less facetious when I said that, because I hate Toronto.
No, you said he was the center of the universe.
Center of the universe. Well, okay.
For Kevin revolved around him. This was the center of the
universe. And that was the center of the universe. Christ, I can't even get my own insults correct anymore. God damn this homemade booze.
I was setting you up for stuff, and nope. You swing and a miss twice.
Oh, I know. I'm in trouble.
Anyway, so Dolph Ziggler's big entrance was no entrance, and they had a really boring match.
This is not what I was expecting out of you, Dolph. So you're supposed to be a good bump monkey and make Bobby look great.
Well, let's go back to the last bump monkey things he's had to do. Remember when he was shooting with Baron Corbin? That went over well. Remember 3-4 months ago, the Shinsuke debut? How that went? Are we seeing a pattern with Dolph? Yes, we're seeing a pattern with Dolph.
I've given up caring about Dolph months ago.
I think Dolph gave up caring about Dolph. Like, you can literally see the don't give a fuck on him every time he comes out now.
Fans groaned when he did the tuning up the band. They did back and forth roll-ups. Roode won with a handful of tights and then took a zigzag. So I asked the question to Tim. So how does that get Bobby Roode over?
And I said, I can't see that having gotten Bobby Roode over at all.
So what was the point of that 10 minutes?
Let's waste some time and try to find something for Ziggler to do, even though we're going to waste Roode on it.
Key phrase, wasting Bobby Roode.
Which is exactly what this match did. It wasted Bobby Roode, his pay-per-view debut. SmackDown pay-per-view debut.
Put in a bad spot. They could have had a bit more entertaining match. They did not. They had a SmackDown match. They had the 9:30 match before the main event.
Maybe he was born under a bad sign.
Maybe they put it there to remind Jinder that this is where you used to be, so keep acting straight. And you had to keep in mind, this is a pay-per-view where the WWE Championship, one of the longest-running titles in professional wrestling, the most highly regarded championship in professional wrestling, two matches were above it on the card tonight.
Who does he think he is, CM Punk?
Thank you for reading my mind. Get out of my head. Right?
Just saying. I still want to know how that got Bobby Roode over.
It didn't.
Yeah, I thought we had that established.
The thing is that Ziggler is a heel, and right now Bobby Roode is still technically a heel, but he's just extremely popular because his entrance is amazing.
No, his entrance is glorious.
So you're not going to get people to boo him even if he acts like a heel, but he's still technically a heel. So you see things like, okay, we're just going to roll across the ring, and whoever can get a handful of tights last wins.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense if you're booking Bobby as a heel and have him fight Dolph Ziggler.
But they're not booking him as a heel, they're booking him as a babyface.
Just saying.
Then we get to the main event. Hell in a Cell. Kevin Owens, Shane McMahon, false can I wear.
Thank you.
For what?
This match.
Shane McMahon's family was at ringside?
The boys were, yep.
I think the wife was there too.
Didn't notice.
They were all decked out in Shane McMahon jerseys, like always.
Shane O'Mac! You still got it.
So Kevin gets...
He kinda doesn't.
Kevin gets 1 foot in, and then they're out of the cell. And they fight around, you know, by the ramp and everything like that.
And Kevin, to the point, this was the best Hell Near a Cell match ever.
Mm-hmm. Then Kevin's like, I'm tired of you, I'm going in the cell, and you can't get in. Then Shane gets in, they fight. And they have, Kevin beats Shane up for a while. That's fine. That's what you need to see. And then this is the point where Tim kept made the first reference. Shane got hurt. Kevin. Go ahead.
Jumped off the top rope for the splash. Shane gets his knees up, and I'm watching. And Kevin caught Shane right on the patella, right on the kneecap, and looking at it and checking out the replay, and then looking at Shane's face, I saw him say a couple of curse words.
He went for the senton, and then I wrote down, he realized how big Kevin Owens actually is.
Yep.
And then
he tweaked his knee. Now here's the thing: he legitimately tweaked it. You could tell a little bit of curtain raising. After you can see that he's like flexing it and he's rubbing it and it hurt. He did not sell an injury at all.
No, and that was the second time he clinched his knee. I think it was one at ringside before this spot where they were fighting, and he tweaked it a little bit too.
Mm-hmm.
But then that crazy son of a bitch goes to the top rope and does a shooting star press. Oh my god.
I don't know anymore. I don't know.
But if that was the craziest thing we saw all night, we would have been satisfied.
Oh, hell, but wait, there's more!
So, Kevin goes for the pop-up powerbomb, and I like this counter into the triangle.
Yep.
I thought it was creative counter, even if it wasn't put on correctly, Mega.
See them call triangle chokes a lot these days, and it's like, that's not a triangle choke. He's not actually using anything to choke him. Just kind of holding the arms together, and hopefully it looks decent.
Potato, patato. It is what it is. So, they're brawling around the ringside. Fans are chanting for a table, so Kevin gets a table. He leans it up awkwardly against the cell, lays Shane on it, and decides to do, what, a diving Ken ball right onto the table. Shane moved, and Kevin went through it.
Broke it in half.
Shane just slid down like a slide.
Whee! Well, at that point, and in his position, he couldn't have done anything else except slide down.
Yeah. And then he got...
Oh, no, he couldn't have gotten someone from the Mean Street Posse to pull him off the table.
Oh, wait a minute.
Pete Gass is a great guy. Anyway.
Just ask him.
I did.
I bet you on the rack.
Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. I talked to him.
You're welcome.
I have talked to him before. It was in a almost blizzard conditions. So, yeah. Anyway, besides the point. So Shane then picks up a piece of the table and starts whacking Kevin with it.
I've seen chairs used as a table. Now I've seen a table used as a chair.
And then he finds a trash can.
The deadliest of weapons.
The deadliest of all weapons.
Coast to coast.
This aluminum trash can.
Wedged between ropes.
The announcers swear is steel.
Yeah.
And the crazy son of a bitch goes coast to coast right to the face of Kevin Owens. But he's not done, because Kevin kicks out. Shane has a look. He looks at the top of the cell. He goes, I want to go there.
You can almost hear him say, I'm jumping off that.
So, Shane McMahon goes to the door, says, I want it open, and then we had match of the night.
Shane versus the chain.
Shane McMahon versus the lock.
There's such a part of me hope is like, please let them not have a backup if Shane is not strong enough to actually break this lock.
It's like, someone go get him the key. Get him the key. Just slide him the key. We'll take the camera away from it. Just give him the key.
And what was my comic? No, Shane. That other one is the gimmick link.
You saw him struggling with this thing.
That was bad.
Yeah.
He's squeezing and squeezing. It's like, it's not going anywhere. And they have to cut away from it just to go so they can get it correct. It's like, oh, my God. God. So that was match of the night. So Shane gets out. Kevin gets out. We have a DDT on the diamond plate. Like,
ow.
Yeah, yep. That hurt. That came after a low blow. And then Shane's nuts got destroyed even more when he got rammed right into the door. So there was that. Then we go around the cell. Shane McMahon is laid out on the table, padded. Kevin's up on the barricade going, I'm ready to do a thing. But then Kevin has a look.
You're not ready to do the thing.
Not that look.
Because Kevin had that look.
Oh, God. And then he starts climbing. Like, Kevin, don't you dare.
Didn't you do a whole thing? Didn't you do a whole thing about this being a stupid thing for Shane to do?
And then, in a good piece of storytelling, he second guesses himself.
See, in a very Kevin Owens move, I expected him to get halfway up the cell as the audience was cheering him, and then just drop down and just punch Shane off the table.
Right.
Like, this is a very Kevin Owens thing to do, but I like that this is like this internal struggle you can see. It's like, does he actually have the guts to jump off of this cell? You know, you see him backing up. He's trying to psych himself up, goes back to the edge. No, it's still really far.
Just the internal strife and struggle he was dealing with at the top of that, the top of the cage. That was great.
It really was. So while the struggle is happening, Shane recovers, and Shane starts to climb.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, you're about to see how you do it there, Kevin.
And then
it's how it's done, son.
And then Shane is, you know, climbing up, and he reaches the top, and Kevin starts fighting him. So Shane's, like, dangling off the side of the cell.
Never chase someone up the cell.
It only works in the video games because they can't stop you. So they fight on top of the cell.
This scares the shit out of me.
Now, go ahead.
I fully know that's the point.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm thinking, if one of those welds isn't good, if one of those bolts is loose...
Yeah.
I do believe I made a comment about the boys being up top there.
Then what was your comment?
Well, just having done what I have done in professional wrestling, I'm always nervous whenever any of the boys go up the side and onto the top of the cage, especially when it's Hell in a Cell. I get very nervous for them.
I will say I did notice throughout the brawl on top, there were only about two, maybe three panels where they took bumps.
Yep.
So they knew very well which ones were the most secured.
Yep. And I was pointing that out for the entirety of the match to Rocket. Like, they're beating the living shit out of that one panel. Are they trying to break it? And at one point, after they've done most of their moves, I looked at the panel, and I don't know if you noticed or not, but the end of the panel where it's hooked into the crossbeam to the right side of the screen when you were watching had actually bent inwards towards the middle of the panel. And I'm like, shit, one more and it's done.
Like, I saw it bowing really bad.
Yep.
Like, you know, they put a crater in it.
But unlike the cage in, 1998? This one's well more put together.
Yeah.
It's reinforced. It's not just one bar. There's multiple bars.
Right. It's like there's going to be, almost 500 pounds on these panels. We should...
It's not just another cage wall.
Yeah, let me put a couple more staples in this, just in case.
Yeah, more zip ties. So we have a suplex, a senton, a backdrop, and three attempts at a pop-up powerbomb. when Shane would run on him, can't get him up, ran on him again, couldn't get him up. Hey, we finally hit the pop-up powerbomb. He got a full head of steam and got him up. And then the best moment is, Kevin Owens goes fuck it, I'm done. Starts to climb down the side.
Yeah. Oh, God, bad idea.
Because they were teasing.
Rethought this.
Yeah,
going down.
They were teasing spots of going off the side, which was great drama. And Kevin's like, no, I'm done. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to climb down.
And this was such a fantastic job by them both.
Mm-hmm. So they're fighting on this, but Shane climbs down too. They're fighting on the side. And then Kevin gets knocked off the side of the cell and goes through the announce table.
Now, here's the thing. He couldn't have placed his landing better if there was a target painted on the announce table.
He jumped well enough off the side, fell right in where he should have.
Landed dead center, and I'm like, that's how you do it.
Mm-hmm. There are a few people on Twitter going, they missed the spot. How dare they miss the spot? It's like, no, they didn't miss the spot.
Nope.
They were trying to show you avoid showing you how safe the spot was. It's like, they did that perfectly where no one would get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. EMTs are out to check on Kevin. Shane goes to pin, and no, I'm not done.
No. Are you kidding? It's Hell in the Cell and it's Shane McMahon.
So, we go to table number two. Shane clears it off, making sure to move every pencil out of the way, lays Kevin perfectly on the table, and Shane goes, time to climb. Shane McMahon climbs, Shane McMahon looks down, he thanks his lucky stars, he drops a
Catholic crossing.
Yep. He drops the elbow, he misses. Shane is dead.
This looked familiar.
But why did Kevin move?
Where did Kevin go?
Kevin didn't move! Dude, he got pulled out of the way!
But by who?
Sami Zayn.
Go
ahead, Rocky, you can say it.
I was right.
I'm
go ahead, Michael. I was right.
I'm watching the back now.
Mm-hmm.
I've got it just before Shane makes the jump.
Mm-hmm.
They cut to the far camera. You can already see Sammy there waiting for his spot, staring up at Shane.
Mm-hmm.
And Shane's staring straight down at Sammy.
It's like, can we make sure we're good? All right, good.
You know what? You remember what to do now.
Don't be that Samoan who didn't catch Ticker.
God, he's not even trying to hide himself. He's just kneeling in front of the booth that's still intact, just watching Shane and waiting for the time.
But he's dressed in all black, so it's just a ring crew member to the people watching.
Well, yes, I am aware. Mm-hmm. But it's hysterical knowing who it is. Like, they didn't even try.
No need to.
Like, everyone else is standing way far back, and there's just this one guy in black who's real close to the cage.
So Sami Zayn saved Kevin Owens from a disaster. EMTs are out to check on Shane. They're about to put him on the board. Sami's like, no. Sammy puts Kevin on Shane. 1, 2, 3.
And he was adamant. He's pushing EMTs out of the way. He drags the referee down to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
that one rather obese EMT just falling awkwardly. I'm sorry. I got a chuckle out of it. It's just like, bigger old man, and it just looked like slow motion falling back.
So yeah, why, Sammy? Why?
Sometimes, no matter how different your paths have become, no matter how many fights you've had, your best friend is still your best friend.
I said this a few weeks ago on the rack. They're Triple H and Shawn Michaels. They could beat the hell out of each other for years, but they will always get back to get together. I can't wait to see Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn on the same side. I want to see Kevin Owens accept Sami Zayn and see that inner struggle of accepting what his friend did for him. It's going to make for some fantastic television.
Yeah, I'm actually interested in SmackDown on Tuesday.
That's saying what?
Not for the champion, but for this.
For Sami Zayn, you didn't do shit with for months, but you know what? You did this. Now I want to see where this goes.
Because they took the most lovable babyface and turned them heel.
Yes, I did.
It's good booking. So, great opener, great main event. Everything else was just sort of there. But when you
have to admit that the main event practically made the pay-per-view for me.
And you haven't seen the first match yet.
Yeah, we'll get there later on.
And when you do, you'll realize how good that was. But when you bookend a show with two great matches, show's awesome.
Always leaves a better taste in your mouth than a pay-per-view that's absolutely off the hook, but the main event fizzles.
Yeah.
It really does. It's I don't know if it's psychological or...
Well, you can make up for a lot if there's a great ending.
Yeah.
And the ending here was great.
Oh, it was fantastic. It definitely was. Overall, you know, mostly a solid pay-per-view. People are getting sick and tired of Jinder Mahal, and his matches do generally wind up being, like, carbon copies. They really do.
And not entertaining whatsoever.
I'm not going to...
I can say it.
Okay. Thanks.
But still, if you were Canadian tonight, you did well.
Yes.
Except Ty Dillinger.
Poor Ty.
Hey, but at least he got on the pay-per-view. More than it's been.
And I just click back to the fashion files, and he's on the board with a photo that says that hair is a 4.
Yep. And Cesaro was Tooth Fairy 3.
Yeah.
So, Tim, pick 'em.
Oh, shit. I didn't win.
Good.
Hang on just a really quick sec there. Okay, there. I just sent you guys a message, something that I was just told.
Fun.
Yeah.
Fun.
So,
It's okay, Tommy. You already won the prize last time.
Yeah, you already won the book. So basically, even if you had entered, you would have been rendered ineligible.
Yeah,
this time around.
You can't get 2 books.
No.
Anyway, pick 'em results, Tim.
That's all good. Okay, so starting at the bottom, Heartbreak Mike in 17th place all by himself, got 2 right, 5 wrong. 8-Ball didn't fare much better in 16th place, 2 right, 6 wrong. I'm just pissed off because I'm in 15th all by myself. 3 correct and 5 incorrect. I can't believe it. Tied for 10th, batting 500, 4-4. Omega, Rock, Witz, which I'm assuming is Whitney Brien, Clint Hogg, and Daniel. 3rd place, tied. Matt, Random Thing Picker, Lindsay, Subway, Rob, Calgary Trade Central, and Quinn all went 5-3. There's an asterisk beside Matt's name.
Tiebreaker.
Okay. And the winner of the listeners is Sheila, 6-2. The intern went 7-1. I think he cheated. Pretty sure that the intern cheated.
He did not cheat.
I think he cheated. He's the intern. He probably cheated.
He's also technically a listener.
Also technically... does a lot for us.
Also technically does a lot. Did you just say also technically does a lot for us?
Technically.
He kind of sort of does shit. Yeah, doesn't he? So, there's a book to give away, an autographed copy of a book.
The copy of Second Nature, autographed by the Nature Boy Ric Flair and Charlotte, will be available to the winner of the contest. So, send us your information, Sheila, and... we'll get you out the book whenever they send it out. Okay? Cool.
Wow.
What?
Amazing.
What?
Totally incredible. Sheila got six right. I'm having a hard time believing it.
Anybody.
That'll do it for another edition of WTS Tonight Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network tomorrow night.
Are you trying to tell us that we're done?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
It's Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap everything that goes down on Monday Night Raw. This is where you set me up now, Tim.
For Tuesday night?
Mm-hmm.
It's the season finale, isn't it?
Is the season finale of WTRSM, the ultimate championship finale. Who will walk out the champion of season one? Tune in and find out.
I love the title of what you called it.
I can't understand you.
Love it.
Say that again.
What is it? The ultimate championship challenge?
Mm-hmm.
That's a creative title. That's just impressive. You're not even gonna dignify. You're not even gonna give me that much, are you?
Twitch.tv/rockradioshow 11.
Bastard! I'm the one that came up with it. Twitch.tv/rockradioshow Tuesday night. Find out. It's all or none. It's the grand finale. You want to tune in and watch simulated wrestling. Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, or as close as they can get to it. Different tagline. 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain. It's another edition of the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rack radio show. Lindsay Ward is your host.
We'll have the NXT Rundown, the SmackDown Throwdown. We'll have the Hell in a Cell Review and so much more. It's Rack Thursday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern. Check out The Rack Extra. Total Bella Season 2, Episode 4 or 5 now available. Episode 6 will be available on Thursday. Check out The Rack Extra WWE 2K18. Break down everything in the game. That podcast will be available tomorrow. You can check out parts of that podcast right now at youtube.com/radioshow. Make sure you're subscribed to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/radioshow. Make sure you follow us on Twitch, twitch.tv/radioshow, so you know when we go live with WWE 2K18 content, because guess what? We're going to have a lot of WWE 2K18 content, more than just WTR Sims. It's going to be one of those things. We're going to get a lot of content, so make sure you subscribe to the channels, twitch.tv/rackradioshow and youtube.com/rackradioshow, rackradioshow on Facebook, twitter.com, Google, Stitcher, iTunes, you name it, it's there, Instagram, rackradioshow.
Jesus Christ.
I have a lot of plugs.
No kidding. Omega, you're going to help me out on this one, because I am drawing a complete blank for the improv on this one, but the Saturday night, midnight-ish, or as close as they get to it, the wild, the wacky, the unusual, the weird, the what, Omega, the what?
I am not sure I follow here.
Come up with something. You know, every week I throw in something different and off the wall. You know, illegal in 48 states or whatever.
Hmm.
See, come on, get your creative juices flowing.
I can be creative.
Now 38% reduced fat.
There you go. Okay, what was yours, Rock?
Every Saturday night, we give you the answer. Like this.
Yeah, but we keep changing the question on you. We're talking about, of course, CB Radio. Find out what Sub's been smoking.
I'm on the wire. I'll never go down. And just to know the answer.
I'm on the wire. I'll never go down. I just know the answer.
Yeah, that was Rob singing because he lost a bet or something.
That was Will and Rob.
Anyway, Will and Rob, what's back?
No, that's an old version of Will singing.
Oh, that was an older one.
That was the whole joke of him singing the song. Anyway, Saturday night's midnight is CBRadio Live, Facebook, Twitter.com, hashtag blame Rob when a celebrity dies.
There you go.
Tim, your mic sucks. Anyway, Sunday...
What happened now? Is it too loud, too quiet, what?
All distorted.
I run...
Maybe if I just, like, turn it on properly, it was half off. Is that better?
No.
No?
No.
Okay, it's all your fault. Wait a minute.
I'm going to continue. So Sunday, we'll be back 10 p.m. Eastern, talking all the wrestling news you can handle on WTR Sunday night. at WTR Sunday on Facebook, Twitter. You can follow at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. You can follow Tim on the Twitters at Flames Forums. He'll talk hockey, he'll talk wrestling, he'll talk food and all that fun stuff, and how he does with his car. Follow him on Twitter at Flames Forums. Omega.
So, my stuff can generally be found in the exact same way, unless you are over on Facebook, in which case you can find me under TJ Reviews. However, everywhere else on the internet, I am known as TJ Omega. That is the Twitter handle. If you want to follow me there and see all the weird crap I end up tweeting over the day, you can follow me over on YouTube, which is where most of my content is, at TJ Omega. And then there's some extra content for you to go watch over at TJOmega.net.
Wow. It's awesome. Extra content.
Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. Next Sunday night, don't we have a Tim? No.
We ordered a Big Mac, large fry.
We're back next week, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here along the way with the Wild Talk Radio Network at the WTR Oreo for Mike and
Revival.
All that fun other stuff. So for Tim, Omega, I'm Rock. We'll see you all week long across the airwaves of Wild Talk Radio Network right here at WildTalkRadio.com.